Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, it's all about the driver market. What's the future like for Hülkenberg, Wöhrlein, Harianto, Ocon, King? Well, we will discuss it now. So, enjoy it. Hello and welcome everyone. It's the seventh episode of the Fastest Lap Podcast. My name is Jan and as ever, I'm with Fergal. And today we've got our first guest. Hello, Sid, and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast. Give us a brief introduction about yourself and who's your favorite driver in Formula One? Who's your favorite team even?
Hello everyone and thank you Jan for getting me into this podcast. Well, background knowledge, I was just uploading videos, then me and a guy came up with an idea for a podcast, and then Jan saw me. I was like, yeah, you should join mine. I was like, yeah, sure. Because I've started to reduce the podcast because of time issues. But yeah, speaking of favorite drivers and teams, I think Daniel Ricciardo definitely one of my favorite drivers. In terms of team, I think Force India, because they've always had very low budgets, you know, under expect them to perform if they get a podium in the season somehow.
So, very good. I think you fit very well with us because I can't disagree with those choices. I really like Daniel Ricciardo and also, as you said, Force India really punching above their weight. And yeah, Fergal, everything good?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. And coming back to Force India, I do agree. And I'm not being biased, seeing as Force India used to be Jordan Grand Prix, which is, you know, pretty much the only successful Irish team there's ever been in Formula One. So, yeah, they've done a great job over the years, Force India, to get to where they are now.
So, speaking of an ex-Force India driver to start with, of course, the big news last week was the switch of Nico Hülkenberg from Force India to Renault next season for 2017. It was quite surprising in terms of it. There wasn't really a lot of media attention before that. I mean, we heard, I think a few days before the actual announcement, we heard that there was some rumors Hülkenberg could join Renault, and then it went really quick and they announced it. So, Sid, what's your opinion on the switch of Hülkenberg to Renault for 2017?
I think it's a gamble, definitely. And it's one of those gambles that Lewis Hamilton took a while back in 2012, where he moved to Mercedes. And everyone's going, definitely. Why are you doing that? And then 2014, 2015, and even this season, he's been solid, two championships and a runner-up right at the moment.
Yeah, if you look back, it was really a gamble to go with Mercedes. When you just looked at it in 2012, they were really in the midfield. But yeah, Renault at the moment really, I mean, of course, Renault overtook the Lotus team with big financial troubles. Fergal, what do you think? The change to Renault prove costly for Hülkenberg, or do you think it is the best decision for him?
I think it's actually a pretty good decision. I mean, I put up an article on F1today.net the other day explaining why I think it's a good move. At 29 years of age, he's kind of got to get a move on now if he really wants to get somewhere, and he's not going to win a world championship at Force India. You know,
exactly.
And at Renault, they are, they're not a great team right now, but they have a much, much bigger budget than Force India. And in a few years, their car will be developed, I believe, so that it can be a top car. And if they can provide Hülkenberg with that car, then I believe he'll be more than capable of getting a world championship at some point in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think Renault said it themselves. that they want to win championships in 5 years or something. They plan to do that in about 5 years. I mean, of course, they are a big car manufacturer. They do have the resources, and the question is really whether they can use those resources really in a good way. But coming back to really the decision of Hülkenberg, I mean, we talk about Hülkenberg, or we've talked about Hülkenberg for so long now. I mean, since this quali lap in Brazil 2009, where he put the Williams on pole, everybody said, oh yeah, that kid is very special, he'll be in the top team sooner rather than later. But yes, somehow it didn't really pay off for him. And I think, as you said, he will not win championships with Force India. So he had to do something.
Yeah, and his career has just been moving sideways. You know, he's been going from, midfield team to midfield team, trying to pick out where he can deliver his best job. But with Renault, he knows that the budget that they have and how they can develop, and I think that's what convinced him to move to Renault. And I mean, also, I think he may have moved because of Perez and to find himself amongst a new teammate, because I think few would argue with the fact that since the two of them have been teammates at Force India, Perez, I think, has outperformed Hülkenberg to an extent. I think, he has 4 podiums to Hülkenberg's, 0 podiums. So he may want to challenge himself with a new teammate and show that he is properly worthy of a top seat.
Yeah, what do you think, Sid, about that Perez argument?
Well, I mean, Perez has outperformed Hülkenberg over the last season. You can't really argue about that. I think since Hülkenberg won Le Mans, things in F1 haven't exactly gone great for him. He's been unlucky. He's done well. Another thing about Hülkenberg, looking at the seats that's actually open for him, Williams, they are, Hülkenberg probably thought about going there because Williams is so inconsistent. He probably had to go against him.
Yeah,
and then Toro Rosso, don't want to go there. Sauber, you don't want to go there. Manor, not right now. Haas, no. He's just left Force India, so really only left with one team to choose from.
Yeah, definitely. And now with the switch of Hülkenberg to Renault, of course, the question is who will be his teammate next year? Of course, Julian Palmer, Kevin Magnussen, the drivers for this year. But who will Renault keep, or will they even switch both drivers? What is your opinion on that?
Well, I think it's tough because Esteban Ocon seems to be in main contention for the seat. But today, Frédéric Vasseur said that he wants 2 team leaders at Renault for next season.
Okay.
And I can't really see how Ocon can deliver a drive that would establish him as a team leader. He's only done half a season of F1. You can't prove yourself as a team leader in that amount of time. So it's an interesting comment from Vasseur. I still do think Ocon will get that seat.
Yeah, I think Vasseur is a big fan of Ocon, but if he really said that he wants 2 team leaders, wouldn't Kevin Magnussen be the better choice for that?
Well, Magnussen, yeah, he would be, I think. Magnussen has he did a year in 2014 and came back this year. But yeah, it would make more sense to have a more experienced driver if he wants 2 team leaders. But I think what could play into Ocon's hands is that the fact that he's French and Renault is French, and they might just want that that loop in their team.
Yeah, maybe possible. So, Sid, what do you think? Is there a possibility for any other driver to go to Renault, or do you think they'll keep at least one of their current race drivers?
I don't see any reason to get rid of Kevin Magnussen, to be honest. He's got 7 out of the 8 Renault points. He's definitely outpaced Julian Palmer, shown that he has ability for 2 years now. If he gets kicked out again, I think he'll be just kicking out a good talented driver for no reason.
Yeah, I agree with that actually, because Magnussen, I don't see why they would drop him. I really do think he's a good talent, and it would really be a shame for them to drop him, because I think he has a good future ahead of him if he manages to stay in the sport.
Yeah, definitely, I can agree with that. But just going through the scenarios, Sid, you just said, or a few minutes ago, Manor not yet. Do you expect maybe Manor to get better in the future, or would you advise, for example, Pascal Wehrlein even to go to Renault? I think there were even some rumors that Wehrlein could join Renault for 2017, or even Force India.
Yes, speaking of Manor, like I said, not yet. They are still at the bottom, and I mean, you know, I'm being brutally honest, they're still not going to get points every race.
No.
But now they've got the budget that they didn't have before. So I expect Manor to be going up the field slowly. In terms of Pascal Wehrlein, who I'm sure wants a Mercedes drive, that might take some time.
Yeah.
So he's got to look elsewhere. I don't think, you know, you can't just wait for a Mercedes seat to open.
Yeah, definitely. So maybe the Force India seat, or did any of you hear any rumors about the Force India seat? Who might actually fill that seat now with Hülkenberg?
Yeah, I've got to say it's looking like Wehrlein will go there, because today, actually, at the DTM event, Wehrlein was being interviewed, and he revealed that he is in talks with Force India for a potential seat there. So, it'd be just, I think, another year deal, because Wehrlein is still tied with Mercedes. So it wouldn't be, I don't think it's going to be a multi-year deal if he actually goes there. But right now he is looking like the favourite to partner Sergio Perez at Force India.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense a little bit, of course, with Force India using the Mercedes engine. It would make more sense than, well, I'm going to Renault, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Keeping those links strong, and keeping Wehrlein involved with the Mercedes program.
So other than that, of course, if Wehrlein really, really switches to Renault, to Force India next season, of course, there's another seat left at Manor. Who'll fill that seat? Probably the driver that brings the biggest budget. What would you say?
Yes, Sid, you take that one first.
Always picking on the guest. I actually don't know. So let's start with something that actually sprung to mind first, was Alexander Rossi. But he's already declined the Manor seat because the Manor is not fast enough. And he's an Indy car. He's already won an Indy 500. No reason to change whatsoever. Anybody else that springs to mind? I think Giovinazzi is a seat in F1. Maybe that's what he should target. Don't know what his... what he called the money he'll bring in. If Gasly does not get a Toro Rosso seat, he should go to Manor, but I don't know exactly anyone that has a good, you know, will give a lot of money and go to Manor.
Well, I'll tell you, someone who does have a lot of money is Rio Haryanto, and I think he's a good shout of returning to the sea. I don't see why he can't come back. Also, Jordan King in GP2 also brings a budget, and it's a bit of a pity, I think, for Manor. I mean, I know they're a backmarker team, but they're kind of just looking for money rather than talent, and I suppose it is necessary for their survival, but it still isn't great to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice side effect. I mean, all those drivers we've just talked about, they aren't bad drivers. But at the end, it will probably be a choice of money, not necessarily about the top 1% of performance really a driver delivers.
Yeah, and coming back to something about what Sid said about Giovinazzi, Giovinazzi, I think, is in a pretty good shout of a Haas seat, because Giovinazzi is, of course, a Ferrari development driver, and he's also leading the GP2 standings with one round to go. He's 7 points ahead of Pierre Gasly. So, yeah, Giovinazzi, I think, has a great chance of getting in a Haas. But also another driver who could end up at Haas, and this has really just come out of nowhere, and I'm not really sure, you know, who fueled this fire. But, yeah, the latest rumours are that Magnussen could be going to Haas.
Well,
so what are your thoughts on that?
Very interesting rumour. I mean, if Whelan would really go to Renault or someone else, there's of course Magnussen without a seat, so he must be looking around. Of course, he must be talking. I think there's a lot of talk going on between all the drivers and all the teams. So definitely it could happen, but I think the more likely outcome is really that Giovinazzi will get the seat. Because I'm not quite sure. I think Grosjean is fixed for next year, but Gutierrez isn't. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And what also would be a shame is, with the rule that is in GP2, if you win the championship, you're not allowed to race in the championship again the next season. And, you know, where does Giovinazzi really, you know, go after that? I mean, we've seen Van Dorn, for example, when he won, he went to Japan to race in Super Formula. But Giovinazzi, I mean, would he really be taking a year out of racing? I mean, we've seen Julian Palmer do that, and Palmer's future isn't looking too great, it has to be said. Giovinazzi, I mean, would he really just be sitting on the sidelines for a year with Ferrari, you know, not racing? He actually raced this weekend in the World Endurance Championship, but, you know, there's only, what, six, seven events in a year? That's not enough to, you know, fill your calendar for a racing driver. So it would be a shame if he won the title and then didn't get anywhere to race next year.
I think the best thing for Giovinazzi, if he doesn't get his seat by itself, he should at least be an FP1 driver somewhere, because surely he deserves a seat somewhere in F1. I don't think that talent should be thrown like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's always a shame, really, when you're just a development driver. He's not exactly a racing driver. And yeah, like you said, it's what he deserves.
But it would definitely be an option for Haas. I mean, they were looking around for some young drivers. I mean, there was Leclerc in talks, but they decided against him because he doesn't bring the maturity. So yeah, Giovinazzi with a GP2 title might actually be a good replacement for Gutierrez. So then again, what's Gutierrez doing for next year? Will he be or looking around for another team, or will he be out of Formula One?
Sid, do you want
to
go for that?
I've heard Gutierrez might go to Manor. That's the first thing I've heard. I've also heard he might go to Sabre if he's kicked out. But Gutierrez, he has got a lot of 11th place finishes. Yeah. But he's still been outperformed by Romain Grosjean. And if your teammate beats you, you're not doing as much as the car can do, and therefore you don't deserve the seat in that team, at least, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely lowers the reputation of him. I mean, I think he didn't really outperform his teammate in his first career path at Sauber, and he didn't here at Haas, so yeah, it's really questionable whether he deserves a good Formula One seat.
I think in his defence, I mean, he's actually, in the past few races, I believe he's done, in qualifying anyway, for the most part, he's done better than Grosjean. And you know, they in qualifying in Japan, they actually did perform very well. They got into the top 10, both cars, but yeah, their races were kind of ruined on the, well, Gutierrez's race was ruined on the first lap. But yeah, I think he does get a lot of criticism, Gutierrez, but yeah, to be perfectly honest, I don't see how Haas will retain him for next year when there's someone, like a more exciting driver like Giovinazzi or Magnussen in contention.
Yep, definitely. And Sid, you put the rumor in the room that yep, maybe Gutierrez could go even to Sauber. Well, of course, we heard the news last week or the week before that Sauber will use 2016 Ferrari engines in 2017. Sid, do you know more about that? And what do you think? How big will the performance impact be? And might they even fall behind Manor next year?
Well, let's talk, like, what does this engine difference actually mean? So Toro Rosso this season used last season's Ferrari engine.
Yeah.
But there was not a huge rule change coming to 2017, but the rule change is massive. And so the engine's going to be, you know, a lot better than what they will have, definitely, because, you know, you're changing a lot of things. The only positive for Sauber out of this is next year is more aerodynamic than engine, so maybe they could get away with it. But then again, Sauber don't have, from what I know, haven't made the best aerodynamic cars in the past, and they need to get to the best to have a chance for points every race.
Yeah, Fergal, what's your opinion?
Yeah, Felipe Nasr actually said that he understands why Sauber have made the choice to use 2016 engines, because they want to focus more on the chassis side. But I suppose if Sauber, if it is cheaper, Sauber will opt for it, even though they have their future secured with the Longbow Finance investment. But yeah, like Sid said, with the aerodynamic overhaul, and it's the rule changes for 2017 are more on aerodynamics rather than engines, so that might you know, you'd still want to have complete up to date engines, but it mightn't hamper them as much as people might think if they make a good chassis.
Yeah, if they make a good chassis. I mean, I really don't understand the decision, because I mean, what's the discount on those, I just want to say used engine, but those old 2016 engine, maybe, I don't know, 10 millions or something? Yeah. Let's say 10 millions. And
yeah,
with that big rule change in 2017, you do have quite a, you would assume that there's quite a big performance leap forwards with those with the free development of engines. So the question really is, can you develop aerodynamic parts with 10 million euros that would be, or that would give you such a performance boost as the 2017 engine would? And I don't think so, because aerodynamic development is very, very expensive, and in all honesty, I can't understand the decision of Sauber at all.
Yeah, not only is it expensive, but it's also very restricted and limited. You know, you don't have a lot of time to do it, and the time that you do have costs a lot of money. So Sauber, yeah, it's all really just a big mess at Sauber. I mean, they were like, in the start of the season, they were struggling so much, the car was all over the place. Then they brought an upgrade to Silverstone, I think it was, and they were a little bit better, but still nowhere near what they should be. Then they get the financial backing, but still, there still just appears to be some sort of this grey cloud over it all. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what direction they're headed in.
I think, you know, this is something that I tell my friends all the time, because it was one of my bold predictions that Sauber will run out of cash at the end of the season. Now, obviously, they got an extension in finance, but the key problem for Sauber. They don't want to just stay here for the 2 years. They want to be here till the eternity of F1. And so they have to take pain and suffering now to actually survive later on. So even if it's a little difference in cost, every cost that's cut out is more cash that comes in. That's what Sauber need to do.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, really Sauber, a team that has been in Formula 1 for a very long time. And yeah, I think we all hope for them to stay in Formula 1, but it'll be a very difficult future for them. And yeah, we will see what's going on there. So Sid, thank you very much for joining our Fast Lap podcast. And as ever, if you've got any questions or any comments about this week's episode, just leave them in the YouTube or Google Plus and wherever. And yeah, we will be back next week. Thank you for listening and goodbye. Wherever you are listening, we would really appreciate your feedback by commenting or rating the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.